Morning, church. Great to see you this morning. And just looking at those pictures, this was a dream we kind of had about a year ago. I mean, I've been going to Brazil for the last, 20 years or something. But we sort of had a dream of inviting a bunch of young leaders from around the country to come and join us. And so this was the fruit of it. 22, I think there were 25 of us eventually in an Airbnb house in the middle of Sao Paulo for a week. And just trusting the Lord to expose them to something of what God is doing in the nations. And what an incredible week we had. You know, I confess, I went with fear and trepidation because it's quite easy traveling when it's just two or three of us. But when you've got 25 of us, it's a whole different kettle of fish. And but what an amazing week to see the way God opened such incredible doors of opportunity for ministry, to see the team come together. And most of them are youth leaders in different churches. I think it was a complete life-changing experience for them. So thank you for all of your prayers. It was an incredible week in Brazil last week. Week before that, got into Venezuela again and into Colombia. We had Equip conferences in both of those. And the grace of the Lord was with us. I've had some adventures getting in and out of Venezuela before, but this time, by the grace of God, it was smooth sailing, simple to get in and out. About 400 people at the Equip conference there, so many leaders and God doing great things in that nation, in spite of the fact that even now there's such unrest and protest as they're going through political upheavals. The hand of the Lord was with us, and we had an amazing time. And Colombia as well was beautiful once again. So thank you for your prayers. It was good to be away, but always good to be back as well. And looking forward to share God's word with you this morning. So happy spring day. Perfect day to get baptized. And we're going to be baptizing some folk at 11 o'clock this morning. And if you haven't been baptized and want to join in, 11 o'clock today, we're going to be straight off to the second service. We're going to be baptizing folk today. And would love you to join with us for that if you haven't been baptized. Brilliant. I'm going to pray. We sang about my lungs are filled with a lion. My lungs feel like they're filled with a slug. But trusting that the word of the Lord will come through powerfully this morning. Father, thank you so much that as we study your word this morning, Lord God, you're with us. Holy Spirit, you are the Spirit of truth. Holy Spirit, you lead us into all truth. And I pray for your anointing right now. We want to hear your voice. We don't need the words of man. We need the voice of the Lord speaking into our hearts. And sometimes to encourage, but oftentimes to correct, to adjust, even to discipline at times. We don't want to be hearers of the word. We want to be doers of your word, Lord. So would you come and speak to each one of us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now that we've finished our journey through the book of Mark and we are busy preparing, we've got an exciting journey coming up. In a couple of weeks' time, we're going to be launching our new journey. I think it's going to be called Call to Vision. And just discussing more of what exactly God has called us to as a church and how you can be part of that and how we want you to be part of that. Today, I want to share just a once-off. This is actually probably not a very good sermon because it was written at about 3:30 in the morning. Not this morning. It was written as I was flying from Sao Paulo into Bogota. Had been traveling for 20 hours already, trying to sleep but couldn't sleep. And in that moment, I felt God begin to drop some things into my heart. Mainly, I suppose, for the churches in South America. I preached this into Venezuela, into Colombia, into Brazil. And yet at the same time, as God was ministering this to other churches, I felt God stirring my heart personally and saying, Lord, this is what we want at Outlook Church as well. And I want to talk this morning around a beautiful biblical word. And it's one that's challenged me. It's one I want more and more in our life and in our church. I want to talk around the word fruitfulness. Fruitfulness. And maybe it's a great day to do it. It's spring. It's a season of new life, season of new growth. What is fruitfulness? Now, the Bible, when it speaks about fruitfulness, it uses as a word to discuss abundance. It speaks about success. It speaks about growth. It speaks about how little words can bring great transformation. Fruitfulness, you see, God's word is like a seed, and sometimes a seed grows and sometimes it doesn't. Fruitfulness is when the little seeds of God's word, just one little word, can produce great transformation. Fruitfulness is when little bits of obedience bring great breakthrough in our lives. You know, sometimes it's just a small adjustment God is wanting to make in the way we think, in our attitude, in our belief, in our action. And sometimes a little adjustment to our actions can produce a huge breakthrough. And sometimes it's just how less effort can produce more growth. And I want to just discuss and unpack. I've called the title today, Seven Truths on Fruitfulness. So I was sitting on the airplane and I felt God, one by one, begin to lay some truths on my heart that I want to share with you this morning. But I want to start off in a passage in the book of Exodus. The start of the book of Exodus picks up the story when Joseph had gone down, he'd been sold into slavery, and then his family came down and joined him. And then that whole generation died. And now it's 400 years later, and the Israelites, the people of God, the covenant people of God, are not in the promised land yet. They haven't got to the land of milk and honey. They're in Egypt. And this is what happens. I'm picking it up in Exodus 1 from verse number 6. It says, "Now Joseph and all his brothers and all that generation died, but the Israelites were exceedingly fruitful." Why don't you say exceedingly fruitful? Exceedingly fruitful. I love that. "They multiplied greatly, increased in number, and became so numerous that the land was filled with them. Then a new king to whom Joseph meant nothing came to power in Egypt. Look," he said to his people, "the Israelites have become far too numerous for us. Come, we must deal shrewdly with them, or they will become even more numerous, and if war breaks out, we'll join our enemies, fight against us, and leave the country." So they put slave masters over them to oppress them with forced labor, and they built Pithom and Ramses as store cities for Pharaoh. But the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied and spread. So the Egyptians came to dread the Israelites and worked them ruthlessly. They made their lives bitter with harsh labor in brick and mortar and with all kinds of work in the fields. In all their harsh labor, the Egyptians worked them ruthlessly. The big idea that I want us to catch is that the Israelites were in trouble. They weren't in the promised land. They were in Egypt. They weren't under great leadership. They were under a dictator. They were being oppressed. They were being driven as slaves. They were in a bad situation. And yet, even in this place of suffering, even in this place of slavery, they were exceedingly fruitful. Why? Why? Because they are the covenant people of God. The big idea that I want us to catch today is I want us to see how the people of God were exceedingly fruitful, not because of their great behavior or their ability or their performance, but rather because they are the covenant people of God, the favor of God was upon them and they were fruitful. You see, what I want us to realize, and this is what's been working deep in my heart, is there's a level of thinking that we come into the kingdom with. Before we get saved, before we become Bible-believing, thinking people, we train to think like the world. And the world will teach you that fruitfulness, success, prosperity, growth is going to be determined by your effort, your ability, and your hard work. And those are good things, but those are not the things that produce fruitfulness in the kingdom of God. And what I want us to see today is as I go through these truths, I want us to recognize there's a faith element to fruitfulness that God wants us to take hold of. The Israelites were fruitful because they are the covenant people of God. And now guess what? For all of you who've been baptized into Christ Jesus, you've received Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are now the covenant people of God. We are in covenant with Christ, covenanted to the God of all fruitfulness. And what I want us to grab hold of, this is what God has been stirring in my heart. Lord, I want to say yes to a greater level of fruitfulness in my life. In fact, I want to be exceedingly fruitful for you and for your glory. But I've got to realize it's not linked to my ability, my performance. It's linked to the God of fruitfulness who I'm in covenant with. Does that make sense? Yes. Give me some enthusiasm. Come on, need some help today. So, seven truths about fruitfulness that I want to take you through very quickly. Truth number one is that God is the God of fruitfulness. Our God in heaven can make anyone fruitful anywhere at any time. Do you believe that? Absolutely. He's the God of fruitfulness. In fact, right in the beginning, when we see God creating Adam and Eve, can you remember the very first thing that God said to Adam and Eve? Be fruitful and multiply. But I want to take you to a scripture that has stood out for me. This is going to be your memorization scripture for the day. Genesis 35, verse 11, is when God met with Jacob. Jacob had run away and he'd been on a sojourn. He was coming back and God met with him. And in Genesis 35, verse 11, God said to him, "I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and increase in number." That's it. There's your memorization verse for the day. I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and increase in number. I want you to realize two things. Number one, I want you to see which comes first. Not the command to be fruitful, but the revelation that I am God Almighty. In other words, fruitfulness is linked to revelation, not ability and hard work. God didn't try and reveal you're special, you're a snowflake, you're amazing, you're going to be fruitful. That's not the revelation that led to fruitfulness. It was, I am Lord God Almighty, be fruitful and increase in number. He is the God of all fruitfulness. He's the source of fruitfulness. And when we catch that revelation, notice as well, he doesn't say, I'm the God of love, be fruitful. I am the God, Lord God Almighty. All power, omnipotence belongs to God. He's the source of our fruitfulness. First comes revelation and then comes fruitfulness. I suppose the challenge for me is I know that all of us in our thinking kind of connect our fruitfulness, growth, prosperity, increase to something. And I felt quite convicted. And let me just be vulnerable and honest for a moment. I kind of thought maybe the fruitfulness of the church, for example, maybe that's linked to our ability to perform well, preach well, sing well, serve well. And suddenly in your thinking, now don't judge me, you've probably got evil thoughts as well. And suddenly in your heart, you can come, there's a pressure that comes, there's a performance mentality that comes. I've got to perform better, do better if we want to see fruitfulness. Because we always link our fruitfulness to something. Maybe in business, you think your best business strategy, or it's your incredible salesman pitch, or it's your this, or it's your that, that's the seal source of fruitfulness. And that's what I want to address this morning. He is the God of fruitfulness. As long as we're pursuing something else as the source of our fruitfulness, we'll never walk in the fullness of God's fruitfulness on our lives. And I've had to say, actually, Lord, you're the God of fruitfulness. That's our source. Amen. Which leads us to truth number two. God commands us to be fruitful. I am the Lord God Almighty. Be fruitful. Notice God doesn't ask. Jacob, I'd love it if you would just try and be a little bit fruitful. When God commands you to do something, how do you respond? Please respond by saying, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And the reason I say that is because I felt God challenge me, and I've shared this testimony before, about how many times I pray, please, Lord, prayers versus yes, Lord, prayers. And I felt challenged if I'm always praying, please, Lord, bless my family. Please, Lord, bless the church. Please, Lord. Am I asking God to do what I want or am I doing what God wants? And I'm not, and I realize so often, Lord, I'm praying, Lord, blessing. I pray fruitfulness over the church. Please, Lord, make this trip fruitful, Lord. Please, Lord, let the church be. And actually, but God's commanded it. And I'm saying that because in our hearts, I want you to know we live under the command of God. First commandment, as I said, going back to Genesis 1:28, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. God commanded Adam and Eve to be fruitful. We read it in Genesis 35:11. God said, I am God Almighty, be fruitful and increase in number. So when we get to Matthew 28 in the Great Commission, and he says, go into all the world, make disciples of all nations. Our hearts shouldn't be saying, please, Lord, bless us, help us to be fruitful. We should say, yes, Lord. And my prayer for us as a church this morning is that we would walk away saying, yes, Lord, to the fruitfulness of God in our lives. Yes, Lord, you want to be fruitful in my life. Lord, you want my life to display your fruitfulness. I'm not going to be asking you anymore saying, please, Lord, make me fruitful. I'm saying, yes, Lord. Because when God gives a command, he gives grace to fulfill his word. God will never command you to do something that he's not giving you the grace to do. But here's the thing. Grace always comes to us through faith. We save by grace through faith. In other words, when you believe, God, this is your will for my life, when you believe for something, there'll be grace for it. If you don't have faith for it, there's no grace for it. Does that make sense? So when we begin to realize, God, you've called me and commanded me to walk in fruitfulness, that means, God, there's grace for it. And today I want to say, yes, Lord. I want my life, my business, my family, my church, my home, whatever it is, I want you to display the fruitfulness of God. I say, yes, Lord, because when we got faith for it, there'll be grace for it. Which brings us to point number three. Truth number three is that fruitfulness is not season dependent or circumstance dependent, but God dependent. And I remember when we were going through the book of Mark, this particular portion of the sermon stood out to me and convicted me deeply. Remember that story, that crazy story about the fig tree? I remember preaching about it a few weeks ago. I'll remind you from Mark 11, verse 12. The next day as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. Seeing in the distance the fig tree and leaf, he went to find out if it had any fruit. And when he reached it, he found nothing but leaves because it was not the season for figs. Then he said to the tree, may no one ever eat fruit from you again. And his disciples heard him say it. And what happened to the fig tree? It's right, it died. It committed tree suicide. And the next day, nothing left, withered from the root. And all the tree huggers are like, that's not fair. I mean, how can Jesus curse a tree for not having fruit when it's not the season? He created the trees. He created the season. He knows there's not fig trees. Maybe Jesus was teaching us something way different. That in the presence of Jesus, every season is a fruitful season. In the presence of Jesus, every season is a fruitful season. In the presence of Jesus, he expects fruit in every season. Oh, but it's too cold for figs, or too hot for figs, or too dry for figs, or too wet for figs. No, no. In the presence of Jesus, he expects fruitfulness. And this has convicted me deeply because so often if we're thinking circumstance leads to fruitfulness, my ability leads to fruitfulness, then I've got excuses for why I'm not fruitful. No, no. Every season is a fruitful season in the presence of Jesus. Remember the other example I gave about Jacob. In Genesis 26, verse 1, now there was a famine in the land. Besides the previous famine in Abraham's time, and Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, in Gerar. Famine in the land. In other words, no rain for a couple of years, no crops, no harvest, no food. But God said to Jacob, stay in this land and I will bless you. And we read in verse 12, so Isaac planted crops in that land. Now, can you imagine right now what his neighbors, what the farming community would have said to him? Isaac, you're being doff. Wait until at least we have a little bit of rain. It has not rained in years. The ground is absolutely bone dry. You're wasting good seed right now. I get your enthusiasm, but let's wait for at least the first rain, then plant. Nope, I'm planting. Isaac planted crops in that land, and the same year reaped 100-fold because the Lord blessed him. Not because it suddenly started raining, but because the Lord blessed him, the source of fruitfulness. The man became rich and his wealth continued to grow until he became very wealthy. He had so many flocks and herds and servants that the Philistines envied him. He understood the God of fruitfulness. Remember what happened to Joseph? Joseph, betrayed by his brothers, sold into slavery, landed up in prison. And in the prison season in Egypt, he's brought to prominence and power. He has a son, and his second son he names Ephraim. In Genesis 41, verse 52, the second son he named Ephraim and said, it is because God has made me fruitful in the land of my suffering. It's a beautiful verse right there. For some of you right now, this is the word of the Lord to you. Ephraim, God has made me fruitful in the land of my suffering. In our mind, we're thinking, when I get to the good land, when the sun's shining, the economy turns, the politics turns, the family turns, and everything smiles on me, I realize in that season, I'm going to be fruitful. No. God has made me fruitful in the land of my suffering. Fruitfulness in the kingdom of God is not circumstance, situation, or ability determined. It is God determined. God's challenging us, church. Do we have faith to be a fruitful people even in the land of suffering and difficulty? Let me give you truth number four. This is so important. Fruitfulness, number four, glorifies God. In John 15, verse 8, Jesus said, "This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples." Excuse me. This is an important truth, because what Jesus does right here is he links fruitfulness and glory. "This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit." In other words, one of the main ways that God is glorified in our lives, not just standing, singing songs, no, it's the fruitfulness of our lives, especially in seasons of suffering, that glorify God. So we've got to see from the words of Jesus that glory and fruitfulness are linked. He is the God of fruitfulness, he's the God of glory, and he's glorified through fruitfulness. Now here's the danger. I want to remind you, church, that human hearts were not created to absorb glory. I've come to realize, as I've studied this more and more, just how dangerous glory is. Glory was made for God, not for human hearts. The Bible tells us, it's not on the screen, but Isaiah 43:7, it says, "Everyone who's called by my name, whom I created for my glory." For me, this has been one of those defining scriptures in my life, understanding that we were created for his glory. Literally, I want you to picture a mirror. We were created to glorify God. That's why we're here. We're made in his image to glorify him. And Satan knows that. He knows we were made with glory in mind, and all he's done is twisted whose glory. And the problems in the world all stem from this. As soon as we allow glory to enter our hearts, you see, your flesh wants glory. Your flesh wants to be glorified, wants to be recognized. And the whole world with celebrities and fame and the pursuit of fame, it's all about the pursuit of glory. But we weren't made for our glory. We were made for his glory. I've come to realize glory is absolutely dangerous to a human heart. We can't handle it. It corrupts, it perverts, it distorts. As soon as there's a hunger for personal glory, it destroys us. Friends, we were made for his glory. So now think about this. God wants you to be fruitful, but with fruitfulness comes glory. But whose glory? And I wonder sometimes if there's not a huge hindrance, if God holds back his favor of fruitfulness in our lives, because he knows if I make you more fruitful, it means more glory. But whose glory? Have we proved in our lives, "Lord, I'm living for your glory"? Otherwise, if I was the Father in heaven, I'd hold back a whole lot of fruitfulness from people if I realized it would lead to more glory, which could destroy them. Does that make sense? I remember a simple little prayer, but it's a prayer that I've been praying more and more, and I'd love you to pray as well. Simply this: "Lord, I promise you all the glory." Lord, I promise you all the glory. And glory is a temptation like any other. And you do something well, and I was delighted. I mean, with the Olympics and all of the stuff that went on with their opening ceremony, what was beautiful, though, was to see how many of the athletes just glorified God. Listening last night to the interviews, even after the rugby, isn't it beautiful to see man of the match, but first, my Heavenly Father must get the praise. It's beautiful when you see people of great ability, great fruitfulness, glorifying God. Fruitfulness glorifies God. Number five, which follows on from that, is that Satan fears a fruitful church. We read that from Exodus 1, which is a picture of Pharaoh. Pharaoh here is a type of Satan. He's ruling over this kingdom of Egypt, which gives us insight into the way Satan works. He says, "Then a new king to whom Joseph meant nothing came to power in Egypt. Look," he said to his people, "the Israelites have become far too numerous for us. Come, we must deal shrewdly with them, or they will become even more numerous. And if war breaks out, we'll join our enemies, fight against us, and leave the country." Here's the big idea. As much as fruitfulness glorifies God, fruitfulness brings opposition as well. Because Satan knows when the church is fruitful, it means the kingdom of God is advancing. And when the kingdom of God advances, it means the kingdom of darkness is being driven back. The more fruitful you are using your gifts and abilities that God has given you, the more his kingdom is pushed back. As I began to study the life of Paul, as Paul began to minister apostolically and plant churches, it's amazing to see the more and more fruitful he became, the more and more the opposition grew. They just go together. Jesus said, the thief comes to rob and kill and destroy, but I have come to give you life and life abundantly. In other words, if Satan can't destroy you, if he can't kill you, what he's going to try and do is rob you of fruitfulness through opposition. And so the question I want to ask you soberly before God, would you say yes? Are you still saying yes to fruitfulness in your life if it means saying yes to more opposition in your life as well? And I've been wrestling with that question. And the more I've said yes, the more I've felt some opposition. But yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We want to walk in fruitfulness even though it comes with opposition. So let's have a look at point number six then. Truth number six, Satan's strategy to overcome fruitfulness is busyness. And we see that straight out of the same picture, Exodus 5. We're going to jump to chapter 5, where he continues the story, verses 8 and 9. Pharaoh speaking, and he says, but require them, the Israelites, to make the same number of bricks as before. Don't reduce the quota. They are lazy. That's why they're crying out, let us go and sacrifice to our God. Make the work harder for the people so that they will keep working and pay no attention to lies. What were the lies? The lies were what God is saying. The lies were Moses saying, let my people go that they will worship me. And Pharaoh saying, make them work harder and harder and harder so that they give no attention. Keep them working so that they pay no attention to lies. His strategy hasn't changed. Most people, when you ask them, hey, how's things going? Busy, 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 busy. How are you? Busy, 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 busy. No, just be careful, church, that we don't get seduced into the enemy's plan to destroy fruitfulness in our lives. Busyness is counterfeit fruitfulness. Busyness is counterfeit fruitfulness. Busyness is working harder and harder and harder and harder, but actually producing less and less fruit. In the kingdom of God, a little effort produces great fruit. In the kingdom of Satan, lots and lots of work to produce very little fruit. What are you involved in? Do you realize this is the enemy's strategy? The busier we are, the less time we have to give attention to what God is saying and calling us to. Now, I'm not against working hard at all. I don't want the wrong people to hear what I'm saying now. Some of you might be lazy. You need to work harder. But be careful of this enemy's strategy in our lives. And he has even deeper a conviction that I felt is sometimes it's busy, not sometimes. Let me just say it like it is. Busyness reflects your true master. Because they were busy, busy, busy because their master at the time was Pharaoh. I want to ask you, if you're one of those busy, busy, but always busy, who is your true master? I ask that because as I began to ponder this, I begin to realize sometimes I'm busy because I'm a people pleaser. I mean, I struggle to say no. God might be saying, say no to this, and I'm not listening. I'm just saying yes because I don't want to let someone down. Who's my true master? Sometimes I'm busy because I'm lazy, because I should have done a whole lot of that stuff when it was in due time, but now I haven't, and now it's built up, and now I'm busy, busy, busy playing catch up. Who's my true master? So what I'm saying is, if busyness, if you've been drawn into the trap of the enemy, ask yourself, Lord, who is my true master here? Am I really serving you, or am I serving a different master? And lastly, let me land with truth number seven. God's strategy for fruitfulness is intimacy. Intimacy. As you study the pattern of Scripture, right from the beginning with Adam and Eve, it says Adam knew Eve and a son was born. So you know what knowing means here. Intimacy leads to fruitfulness. That's the pattern. And Jesus showed us the same pattern when he spoke in John 15, verse 5. He said, I'm the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. The key, God's strategy to more fruitfulness in your life is greater intimacy in your life. And it starts, number one, with intimacy with God. If you want to be more fruitful, become more intimate. Not more busy, more intimate. And guess what? Busyness robs you of intimacy. The first thing that goes from a busy person's life is time, because intimacy is not high speed. Intimacy takes time. Intimacy is about listening so that you can connect hearts and understand. Intimacy is about understanding. Intimacy is about sensitivity of heart. Intimacy is about surrender of heart. None of those things can be rushed. But out of intimacy with Jesus, fruitfulness flows. What about Jesus' strategy? Jesus wants to be fruitful. He's got a plan to change the world. He preaches and 5,000 people come, but that's not the key to fruitfulness. He realizes, no. If I want to be fruitful, fruitfulness requires intimacy. Intimacy is not a crowd of 5,000. He chose 12 friends. And for 3 years, Jesus built a friendship with 12 men. They camped together. They ate together. They spent 3 years together. And out of the intimacy of that friendship, these men went on to change the world. That's what I've come to believe. It is friendship that leads to fruitfulness. And I began to look, even in terms of ministry and effectiveness, it's where friendships have been involved that discipleship happens, and discipleship leads to fruitfulness. That's the kingdom way. Friend, what are we investing in? We're investing in hard work and busyness. Have we been robbed of intimacy with God, intimacy with family, intimacy with friends? Have we realized yet it's intimacy that leads to fruitfulness, not a whole lot more hard work and effort? Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and all of those wonderful things. It's the fruit of the Spirit, not your fruit, His. But where does it come from? Intimacy with the Holy Spirit. As we allow the Holy Spirit more room in our lives, more surrender, more yielded to Him, intimacy with the Holy Spirit, and guess what? Wow! Suddenly you're living a more loving, peaceful, joyful, patient, kind life. Fruit of the Spirit. And that's my bundle. Fruitfulness. Fruitfulness glorifies God. Fruitfulness is commanded over your life because God is the God of fruitfulness. And Satan's going to oppose it, and Satan's going to try and rob it from you with busyness. But in the kingdom of God, intimacy, intimacy. I want to ask you, church, are you going to say yes to fruitfulness or yes to busyness? Let's be a kingdom people who pursue fruitfulness in Jesus' name. Can you say amen to that? Why don't you stand with me, please? Father God, as we stand before you this morning, we thank you that you are the God of fruitfulness, O Lord. We look around at the earth, at your creation, and everywhere we look, we see the fruitfulness of our God. And Father, we know as a covenant people in Christ Jesus, because of what you've done, Jesus, you've called us to fruitfulness. Lord God, we want to repent this morning of all the excuses of why we can't be fruitful, blaming seasons and circumstances and ability, when actually fruitfulness comes from God. We want to repent this morning. We want to declare, Lord God, you are the God of fruitfulness. I am the Lord God Almighty. Be fruitful and increase in number. Thank you, Lord. Father, we want to be those who don't ask you and say, please. We want to say, yes, Lord, by faith. We want to say, yes, Lord, to greater fruitfulness in our lives, church, connect group, business, family, school, whatever we're involved in. We want to say yes with an expectancy of greater fruitfulness because you are the God of fruitfulness. Lord, we want to stop making excuses. And for me, this has been the big one, Lord, where we've linked the source of our fruitfulness to our ability, our performance, our cleverness, our strategy. We want to repent this morning. Rewire our thinking, Lord. Fruitfulness comes from the source, and the source is God Almighty. Father, we want to recognize that fruitfulness glorifies you. And Lord, if we've been stealing any of your glory in any way, then we want to confess it as sin before you this morning and repent. Our human hearts were not created for glory. We were created to reflect glory. Father, we promise you. We promise you, Lord God, all the glory. Do you know Jesus prayed this amazing prayer? He said, Father, glorify your Son so that your Son may glorify you. Can you imagine praying that prayer? Can you say, Father, would you begin to glorify me, hectic, so that I can glorify you? Father, we promise you all the glory, Lord. Lord, where there's been greater opposition, thank you, Lord, that you call us through it. That even in the midst of opposition, you've called us to be exceedingly abundantly fruitful. Father, where there's busyness, and I know for many here, busyness is the thing that has got them, caught them, trapped them. Father, we want to see through the strategy of the enemy this morning in repentance. And Lord God, we want to say not yes to more busyness, but yes to more intimacy. Help us to recognize what's at the root of our busyness. And Jesus, we want to live lives of intimacy, intimacy with you, with family, with friends, that would bring you glory and honor. Come, Holy Spirit. Friends, just stay in an attitude of prayer for a moment. If you are here this morning, Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches. Salvation begins with getting plugged into Jesus. If you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, plugged into Him, that's the source of fruitfulness. We would love to pray for you. Is anyone like that this morning? Just with our heads down, with our eyes closed, why don't you just put up your hand? If you've never received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, why don't you put up your hand quickly? Anyone like that? I can't see any hands, but if there are, we're going to be praying for some folk now. And if you need prayer for your body healing in any way, we would love to pray for you. Why don't you come and join us in a moment? Thank you, Lord. And just speaking about prayer, yes, dear Jan and Kelly, where are they? Probably closer to the kids' side there. For those of you who know Jan and Kelly, they're heading off to greener pastures to go and be farmers. Who would want to go and be a farmer when you can live in the richest buy? Anyway, we're going to be praying for them. So if you're part of their connect group or know them, come and join us in a moment. But Father, I want to thank you so much for your incredible goodness and your grace, your love, your mercy. You are the God of fruitfulness. And as a church, Lord, we want to be fruitful for the kingdom of God. We want to be fruitful because you, the God of fruitfulness, we want to bring you glory and honor. Thank you that as we go knowing your gracious hand is upon us in Jesus' name. And God's people say, amen. Amen. Please stay for some tea and coffee, pizza Sunday. So if you're not in a hurry, why don't you join us for a pizza straight afterwards? Baptism's at 11, tithes and offering boxes at the door if you want to make use of that. God bless and have a great day. Amen.